Thank you, team. All right. Hard-pressed, yet not crushed. I want to start today's sermon out with, the youth can take off for upstairs. Today I want to start off with a little video I got from Billy Crone. Go ahead.
Brothers and sisters, we are in trouble. Not because the world is attacking us, but because we are starting to look just like it. We are living in a time where the line between the church and the world is becoming increasingly blurred. It's not always loud, it's not always blatant, but it's steady, subtle, and strategic. The enemy knows he doesn't need to make us denounce the name of Jesus outright. All he needs to do is get us to redefine him, to reshape the gospel until it looks more like the culture than the cross. And sadly, the church is playing along. We must be honest enough to see where we have allowed the world's thinking to set the agenda for God's house. First, we've embraced a worldly definition of love. In our culture, love now means unconditional affirmation. It means never telling someone they're wrong. And this false love has crept into the pulpit. We don't confront sin anymore. We redefine it, reframe it, or worse, ignore it altogether. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. But that sounds harsh to modern ears, so instead, we preach what makes people feel good. Second, we've turned worship into entertainment. Many churches today design services based on what will keep people coming back rather than what will glorify Christ. And when the measure of success becomes numbers instead of holiness, we've already surrendered to worldly thinking. Third, we've adopted the world's obsession with self. Our culture tells you to follow your heart, believe in yourself, and live your truth. And now, sermons sound more like motivational talks than biblical expositions. We preach, you can do it, more than you must repent. But Jesus didn't come to boost our self-esteem. He came to rescue sinners from the wrath of God. The gospel is not about self-fulfillment. It's about self-denial. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9, verse 23. Fourth, we've made peace with sin through compromise. We think if we water down the truth, the world will like us more, and then maybe they'll listen to us. But in trying to win the world's approval, we lose the very power that makes the church the church. James 4, verse 4 says, "Friendship with the world is enmity with God." You cannot hold hands with the world and claim to be holding on to Christ at the same time. Church, we must decide. Will we be a light in the darkness, or will we dim our light so we can blend into the darkness? The world does not need a church that looks like it. It needs a church that looks like Christ.
Okay. So very clear, that is a good description of the true church and what the true church should strive to do inside society. It's never going to be popular, but it's going to stand in contrast to the false church. And there are many, the Bible calls, there are many false churches out there, the compromising church, the corrupt church, the dead church, the loveless church, and the lukewarm church. And of the seven kinds of churches that a church can be, seven categories, only two he didn't have a problem with. Two were getting the job done. One was the persecuted church, and one is called the faithful church. They persevere. He describes them as not having much strength. They're not real big, but they've kept the word. And so, if you agree with that and then you want to be a faithful church, we're going to end up being hard-pressed. That's what this series has been about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Talking about persecuted. Fox News this morning, headlines, 125,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria. So, something we've known for, persecution overseas, the church pays a heavy price. The faithful church pays a heavy price. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Started this series with the false gospel of the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service. And I even said when I gave that sermon, if you go back and listen to it, I started out with these exact words. I said, I really appreciated how many times the name of Jesus was mentioned and the truths of Jesus that were declared. But I did not like the gospel presentation that began the service. And I explained why. Well, talking about you getting pressed or pushed back, when you start standing for truth. Well, on our YouTube channel, someone commented on my sermon. And this next slide, Levi. This is what they said. Said, you obviously did not listen to the whole service. But even if your pet details, and I added the red line there, your pet details were not mentioned by everyone, lifting the name and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name was preached. What then? Only then. That in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. What a vain shame thing you do, not rejoice in the name of the Lord being preached. Right? And it was funny, the name of this person had grace in their name. And I'm like, that's not very gracious of you. But pet details, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, repentance, these are not pet details that we're missing. These are core, crucial elements of the gospel. So, but this is the pushback we get. Even just trying to point out, hey, make sure your gospel is complete. People are going to attack that. And that's why we looked at the mission of Charlie Kirk and TPUSA. And TPUSA in itself is a good thing. It's a good political action organization. And Charlie Kirk did some great stuff through TPUSA. And with that platform, he boldly spoke of Jesus and the gospel. It was clear. But in his zeal to turn Americans to the conservative side, Charlie focused on the young people, college age and high school, young adult. But he started to go beyond that demographic, and he started to see the evangelical vote, the people sitting in churches. And according to them, their statistics, 50 million evangelical Christians did not vote in the last election. 50 million. Now, if that's true, that's shameful. So Charlie was going after churches in the aspect of getting people out of the pew and go vote. And so they created something called TPUS Faith. Now, this was done with good intentions, I believe, by Charlie. But it was actually not a good thing. If it had stayed just political, but it didn't. It became something that I say is very dangerous. Corrupting. And I believe it's already corrupting, especially now after Charlie's death. TPUS Faith is corrupting TPUSA. This corrupting influence showed itself at the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, which I'll share about in a few minutes. TPUS Faith, I believe, is a driving force, one of many, behind a false American Christianity that is rising, of patriotism, of God and country. And it's a brilliant deception of the devil. Don't ever underestimate the devil. He's going to come at everybody. Use different things. False religions, patriotism, material. He'll use whatever he needs to use to get this group of people away from God, this group away, and this group. So he'll play. He'll do whatever he has to do. And even using patriotism and love of country, and even using belief in God to deceive people. To get them to see the God of the Bible, not as the Bible betrays them, but as they basically want him to be. Not the Jesus of the Bible, but a version that they like. So they can be claiming the truth of God and of Jesus, but still be lost. Don't ever underestimate this Satan. He is brilliant in that way. To understand today's sermon, we must go back in history to see how Satan deceives even religious people who believe in the true God, especially the God of the Bible. You know, that is the true God. How Satan can use Christian religion, but in this case I'm about to show you, Judaism, to deceive people and maybe even deceive a whole nation. So let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. The Apostle Paul here, Romans is the book of doctrine. And through basically chapters 1 through 8, he lays out the reason that we need Jesus to die on the cross. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. God commanded his love toward us while we were yet sinners. This is all in the book of Acts. I mean, the book of Romans, first 8 chapters. And he's making the case, the core for Jesus' death being satisfying the justice of God. Everything we've been talking about here lately. And then in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he talks about the Jews. Now, they were God's chosen people. And through God, through the Jews, he brought the word of God. He brought the prophets. He brought Jesus, right? The blessing that was going to bless all families of the world, all nations, right? And in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, he's saying, listen, the Jews are God's chosen people, but they need Jesus just like the Gentiles do, right? That them just being Jews is not good enough. that the whole Old Testament was pointing to Jesus Christ, the Jesus, the Messiah that they rejected. And for that rejection, they're going to go through very hard, difficult times, as anyone does who rejects the truth. But he's making the case that the Jews have to be saved by the same way Gentiles are saved. They're not just saved because they're God's chosen people. They're not just saved by the Jewish blood. And then he goes on in chapter 11. It's very important, Romans chapter 11, because he talks about that God has not thrown away the Jews. Here he's making the case in chapter 10 why the Jews got off track with God, why they missed who Jesus was. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, this is Apostle Paul, prayer to God for Israel is that they be saved. He wants his people saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that describes a lot of people in the world. A lot of people call themselves spiritual. They have a zeal for spiritual things or maybe even God, but it's not according to Scripture. It's according to whatever they desire. The Jews have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. See, the Jews have to believe just like the Gentiles. But for the Jews, for the most part during this time, and even up into today, believed that they were good with God because they were Jews. God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Jewish people that God gave the law to through Moses. The Jews believed in their own righteousness before God simply because they were Jews. They did not understand that the law was pointing them to a Savior, to Christ, that their heritage could not save them. Today we are seeing a very similar false belief among Americans. They have a zeal for God. You'll hear them say, for God and country, in God we trust, one nation under God. They have a zeal, but not based in biblical truth. Not according to the knowledge of Scripture. To understand this American patriotic Christianity, we have to go back in our history a little bit. Go back to the founding fathers there. Now you guys know, I need to say this, I'm a patriot. You know that. I love our country. I served our country in the Marine Corps and in the Army. I believe that our country started on a great foundation, a strong belief in God of the Bible. It's clear from the founding documents. And many of them talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even George Washington. Our founding fathers were good men. Not all believers, but good men nonetheless. And they believed what they were doing was right. Standing against tyranny, wanting freedom. And I love that the U.S. has always represented that freedom. I love our flag, and I would still defend it today. However, there are times I do not even recognize our country anymore. We are so far from where we started. We have completely lost our way. Even in the conservative movement, because the God that is promoted by many in the conservative movement, in MAGA, in the Republican Party, even the God spoken by our president is not the God of the Bible. Next slide, Levi. Jesus wrapped in an American flag is not the Jesus of the Bible. If you really understand Scripture, you really understand Jesus, this is offensive. Even Israel, Joshua, to the angel of the army of God's angels and commander of the army came, and Joshua, leading Israel, said, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And the angel basically said, neither. I'm on God's side. And if you align and do what I want, you'll be on God's side. Israel is God's chosen people, but Israel was always commanded to follow and obey God. God is not a respecter of persons or nations. And have them wrapped in the American flag, I find offensive, even though I'm a patriot. A false Christianity is rising, and with it a false gospel. The beginning of this false American Christianity goes way back, and it begins with a false belief that the United States of America is a divine creation of God. America is a chosen nation by God. And it goes back to something called manifest destiny. This phrase manifest destiny, was first coined in 1845. By a journalist, John O'Sullivan, who argued that it was America's divine destiny to spread democracy and capitalism across the entire continent. This idea provided moral and even religious justification for the violent displacement of Native Americans, the forced assimilation of those cultures. And eventually, it was the cause of the Mexican-American War. From there, people had a view that God was on our side. America was God's chosen nation in the world, especially since Israel didn't exist at this time. And there is only one nation that can be classified as God's chosen people, Israel. I'm going to get to that next week. Now, I do believe God has blessed the U.S., definitely. And I believe God has done much good through us in this world. But we've also done some bad things. All nations have, right? But we have. And today, America is at its lowest levels of Christianity in the entire history of our country. Lowest church attendance in our country's history. We are a nation that is, since the 60s, but a little before then too, but definitely in the 60s and 70s, started to turn our back on God and walk away from God. We are the world's leader in the production of pornography. We lead and promote in the world the LGBTQ agenda. We have redefined marriage. An institution created by God, we've redefined it. That's crazy to think about. We're telling God, yeah, we not only redefine marriage, we've redefined the family. We promote the worship of materialism. And along with all this, we have murdered 63 million babies through abortion. 63 million. We think the Holocaust was bad, and it was. 6 million Jews. We've killed 63 million since Roe versus Wade. If anything, our country deserves to be judged by God, not blessed. This manifest destiny has led to the belief in American exceptionalism. And again, I love America, don't get me wrong, but we are no longer that nation who used to be that shining city on the hill, a beacon of freedom and of justice and of truth to the world. We're not that nation anymore. Those who believe in American exceptionalism don't see or choose not to see the great sinfulness in our land. Our rebellion before God, our rejection of Him. And instead, they want to whitewash America as a chosen nation by God with a divine plan for America. And this divine plan is to save the nation itself. Not necessarily the people, but just the nation. And here we see this new religion rising. I found this on the internet. I didn't create this. Next slide. I found many like it, but I found this one very interesting. America is God's country. See, there are people who really believe this. America is God's country. And you have Genesis 25. And I was like thinking, Genesis 25, what does Genesis have to... Usually it's Genesis 12, people are saying, but Genesis 25. So I was like, I can't remember what Genesis 25 is. So I looked up Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. And it's about Esau and Jacob. And Esau giving up his birthright for a bowl of soup. You see, what they're saying here is Israel was God's chosen nation, but they gave up their birthright when they rejected Christ. And now America is the new Jacob, the new Israel. Now, I'm going to talk more about that next week. New. But see, there's people who really believe this. And since God is for America, Jesus wrapped up in the American flag, then there you have people believing, well, I'm for saving America as well. I'm a good American patriot. So God and I are on the same side. We're on the same team. So that makes me good with God. Now, there's only one thing that makes you good with God, and that's to be born again in Jesus Christ when you repent of your sins. But they think they're good with God. They think they're good just because of their American heritage, very similar to what I described to you in Romans chapter 10, the Jews not getting that they needed to put their faith in Jesus too. This false understanding of America, of God, of millions have the potential of, I don't know how many are being led astray right now, but it's a lot. Maybe half of America? Maybe a little under half? And these people are overlooking their own sinfulness and the sins of the nation to believe that we are God's chosen people. And this patriotic Christianity is leading them away from the truth. Because I've listened to, in the last month or so, I've listened to a lot of these people. Now, I used to fall into this camp myself. When I was in the Marine Corps, and I believed I was a believer, and God was on America's side. God bless the United States, and I'm serving my country. I'm doing what's good. I'm a good guy. I'm a patriot. And even though I was foul and dark and a wretched man, I classified myself as a believer. So I understand this movement well. And many of the people I'm going to introduce you to some next week, in this movement, you listen to them, they are so foul-mouthed. And people go, well, cussing's no big deal. And I'm like, you know, if you can imagine Jesus saying the things you did, then you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. Your Jesus is not this one. He is holy and pure, above reproach. But these people are foul, sexual deviants. They talk... But they claim to believe in God. They love Jesus, they say. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. I'm sorry. But this is what they believe since they're just a good American. God is for America, and if they're a good American, then they're good, and they don't need to worry about their sin and everything. It's really sad. This religion, this false religion of American patriotic Christianity and the pluralistic Jesus of TPUSA, it's not about God or Jesus of the Bible. It's all about saving America. You can have any version of God you want. Technically, I'll show you. And Jesus, you can have any Jesus you want, any version that you like of him. This religion is not about turning people from their sin, fleeing the wrath of God. It's not about being the church. Most of these people in this movement don't even attend church. And we're supposed to attend church. We're supposed to come here to encourage one another. We're supposed to be bringing our spiritual gift here. We are to make the body work. But a lot of people forsake the assembling together. And many of these people, they don't have anything to do with church. I got people that I know in this movement. And they're never in church. But they'll claim it. They'll claim they're right with God. They're doing what God really wants them to do. It's not about becoming a disciple. It's not about sanctification. It's not about the Great Commission. It's all about saving the nation and doing what they want, getting what they want. Their prayers are all about themselves. It's really sick. I'm going to show you more of this next week. This American patriotic Christianity is not about the God of the Bible. It's about whatever God you really want. Let me show you. Next slide. Here's Charles Kirk Memorial. Here's some of the speakers at that thing. Now, I've already addressed the false gospel presentation that the service started out with, but we'll start off with Marco Rubio. And he had some really good things to say. Catholics can say some things that sound really close. So can Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They can sound like they're believers in Christ on the surface. But Marco Rubio is a Roman Catholic, and he said good stuff, but Catholics don't believe in the same Jesus because Jesus' death is not enough to pay for your sins. Inside of Catholicism, you need to be part of the Catholic Church. You need to be confirmed in the church. You need to do all the sacraments of the church. You need to do good deeds on top of that. And then all that is still not enough because when you die, you will go to purgatory and you will spend time in purgatory to finish off paying for your sinfulness. Jesus' death is not enough inside of Catholicism. It's not the same Jesus. Donald Trump Jr., he spoke. He has no religious faith, but he spoke about God, spoke about Jesus. Tucker Carlson says he's a Christian, but people around him, and if you listen to his podcast, this man is foul. Foul mouth, just really foul. Again, if your Jesus is okay with foulness, you don't have the Jesus of the Bible. Stephen Miller, he spoke. He made a lot of people mad with his speech. He's Jewish. He's not really religious, but so he might think Jesus is a good teacher, or he might think Jesus is a false prophet. But he spoke of God and the Bible, but he's not practicing Judaism. Tulsi Gabbard, she spoke of God. She quoted scripture from the Bible. It sounded good, but she's a practicing Hindu. And the Jesus, according to Hinduism, is an ascended master, just one of many you can believe in. But Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the only way. Ben Carson, Seventh-day Adventist. And in their religion, Jesus' death is not enough. You have to be part of their church. You have to go to church on Saturday, not Sunday. If you go to church on Sunday, you're going to hell. And Jesus, according to Seventh-day Adventists, is the same as the Jehovah's Witnesses because they're closely connected. Jesus is Michael the Archangel. He's not God. Robert Kennedy Jr., he's Roman Catholic. The Jack Posobiec or something like that, who held up the crucifix, Roman Catholic. Only Frank Turek there in the bottom corner, it was an evangelical Christian, just a Christian. TPUSA also includes Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And I love Glenn Beck. I love his conservative views. And he sounds, Winnie even said the other day, I was listening to Glenn Beck, and he sounds like a believer. They're really good. Satan's really good at deceiving people. They're so close to the truth, but at the same time so far away. Because according to Mormonism, Jesus is the brother of Satan. And it's not just belief in Jesus that cleanses your sins. It's your belief plus your works. But we're not saved by works. But Mormonism teaches that. So it's not the same Jesus of the Bible. Ben Shapiro is Judaism. He doesn't believe in Jesus. But all these people are together and they're all claiming to fight. If you watch this, they're all claiming to fight against the darkness. And the light needs to overcome the darkness. And they're bringing a religious zeal to their politics, which, again, there's technically nothing wrong with that, but they're all coming under the banner of serving God, but they all have a different God. And they all have a different Jesus. And besides this, the real people that are fueling TPUS faith is the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. This is Bethel. And there are types that have saturated TPUSA faith and TPUSA. And even the White House and President Trump. Next picture. These are all NAR prophets and apostles. The lady in white is Paula White. She is an NAR prophet. You see, Trump here does not believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. I love Trump. I love his politics and his conservative views, but he does not believe in Jesus Christ of the Bible. He doesn't even believe he needs to ask forgiveness. Play the next one.
Well, let me ask you, because one of the potential attack lines has to do with an answer you gave to Frank Luntz months ago when you said that you've never asked God for forgiveness. Do you regret making that remark?
No, I have great relationship with God. I have great relationship with the evangelicals. In fact, nationwide, I'm up by a lot. I'm leading everybody. But I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good. I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try and do nothing that's bad. I live a very different life than probably a lot of people would think. And I have a very great relationship with God. And
did he ever hear the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? I am good. I've kept all the commandments, Jesus. This is the new American Christianity. No need to admit your sin. No need to repent. No need to ask even for forgiveness. Just claim a belief in God, in Jesus. But again, these people can be foul at the same time. You can't, like you said in the video, you can't say you're with Christ and then hold on to the world too. You can't be like the people in the world and say you're a believer. We're to come out of the world. We're not to be like what we used to be. We all used to be worldly. And now we come over to Christ. Inside this movement of conservatism and MAGA and patriotic Christianity, they're foul. There's no need to repent. There's no need. You can be American, and Americans like to kick, you know, beep. And that's okay with all of them. They have this false understanding. Trump is foul-mouthed. He dropped the F-bomb in front of the White House with reporters this last week. And it's not the first time. And Trump has bought into the NAR. Next slide. The New Apostolic Reformation. NAR teaches that the church must infiltrate, that this Bible teaches this, and it doesn't, that we must infiltrate the seven areas of society. Now, just a side note, there should be Christians in every aspect of society. We should try to bring the love of Christ and influence every aspect of society. We should. But that's not what they're about. This is about a doctrine called Dominionism, where they are to infiltrate all the areas, the seven mountains or the seven pillars, but usually referred to as the seven mountains of society, and not just influence, but take control of. Because they believe that Jesus cannot return until the church dominates the world. That the church has to bring heaven-like conditions to the world. A golden era. Maybe you hear Trump talking about the golden era. Jesus cannot return until the church does this. And then when they teach also that once they conquer the world, basically in the name of Christ, which is crazy talk, that we, the church, will hand the nations over to Jesus. Jesus can't do it until we get the job done. And then we'll hand it over to Jesus. That's blasphemous. That's the opposite of what this Bible teaches. This is NAR theology. It elevates us while it decreases Jesus Christ. He can't do things. He's limited because Jesus in the NAR is just a man. Yes, they say he's the Son of God, but when he became a man, he emptied himself of his divinity. That is the most stupid. They take one verse and they make that doctrine, that belief. You can even use that verse to misprove it and the second verse after that. But they say he's just a man in right relationship with God. And President Trump is surrounded by people who believe this. Charlie said it himself.
Walking around Brown, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, UCLA with that hat. But I'll tell you, finally, we have a president that understands the seven mountains of cultural influence. Finally, we have a president that understands the significance of standing.
Seven mountains of cultural influence. Did you catch that? Listen to it again. Click again. No. Should have been two.
Walking around Brown, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, UCLA with that hat. But I'll tell you, finally, we have a president that understands the seven mountains of cultural influence. Finally, we have a president that understands the significance of standing.
Okay. Charlie seemed to be maybe even buying into this doctrine. A lot of people in our town are, about 10,000. This is right out of Bethel. Bethel is the epicenter of the NAR. TPUSA Faith was designed to get church members out to vote. And if it just stayed in that lane, that would have been good. But it's going much farther than that. And here's where Charlie Kirk, I believe, in his zeal to get Trump elected to save America, made a major mistake. TPUS Faith is an ecumenical movement. Any church, no matter what they truly believe, and even interfaith, other religions, all on board to save America. And if you're doing this because God is for America, then you're on the right team, and that's all that matters. Your sin doesn't matter. The nation's sin doesn't matter because we believe. But Jesus said, if you really believe in me, basically, if you love me, you'll do what I say. But they're using the banner of Jesus. They're using God to do what they want. They want their country back. They want America to go back to the traditional America. And that would be nice, but America is more important to them than Jesus. Play this until I say stop. Play the next one.
Well, thank you for watching episode 12 of the Charlie Kirk Files. We are going to speak today about the false gospel of America. Folks, I want to tell you there's been a lot of weird about this. And we try to cover some of the weird stuff and just kind of give you our take on it. There are some people out there who are interpreting things extremely weirdly, and I don't know if I want to go that far with it, but there are people out there who are projecting nefarious motives upon this, and I'm telling you, I believe that to a large degree, there are some very bad actors here who are using this tragedy and hijacking this tragedy to promote a more sinister agenda, pretending that it's all about America and that it's all about, you know, saving our country from the liberals and saving our country from whatever. And they're calling it a revival. Well, a revival of what? A revival of the Roman Empire? I believe what you're seeing is a revival of the Roman Rite. And I believe that the NAR, with their strange blood revivals and their mysticism, is going to feed right into the Catholic Church. These two are going to become one, and they're going to squish as many people together into a new religion, the religion of MAGA. And they're going to preach the false gospel of America as they hold hands with Buddhists, Mormons, Catholics, Hindus. And they're going to go into a one-world religion. This is the false gospel of America that has now risen up and congealed and solidified itself right in front of you. And I'm bothered by it. If you're new here, go ahead and subscribe to this channel and make sure you smite your like button as Godzilla hears to remind you, or the lizard people will get you. That is a joke. Don't come at me, please. We're being funny. I believe what you're seeing here is very similar, strikingly similar, eerily similar to what Constantine did when he merged Christianity with the state. That created a problem. Constantine was not good. What he did was not good. And what is happening today is eerily similar to Constantine. They're going to call it Christian nationalism. They're going to call it the state church. They're going to call it all kinds of things. I want to tell you that it sounds awful similar to the idea in the book of Revelation of how a woman rides the beast.
Okay.
The woman.
We're almost out of time. The woman that rides the beast. In the book of Revelation, it tells us our eschatology, what's going to happen in the end. There is going to be a one world religion. That is, there all the religions have come together. And she's metaphorically, she's described as this woman who rides the beast. And the beast is the Antichrist and his system to control everybody, Revelation chapter 13. And he uses this religious system that's set up, this woman who you have to go in and read it for yourself. But he allows her to ride him and come into power, but he just uses the system to gain power. And what I'm showing you here is the European Union Parliament building. These statues are outside that building. Now, the Bible tells us the Antichrist will come out of the old Roman Empire, come back. That's what the European Union was, the old Roman Empire. And they have these statues of a woman riding a beast. It's weird. So in that reference, I wanted to show you why he was saying that. Then he was talking about Constantine, Emperor Constantine. He created the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is a distortion. Go to the next slide, Levi. A distortion is a corruption of the true church that began in the book of Acts. The book of Acts began the church. Now, for the first 280 years of the Christian church, the Roman Empire persecuted Christianity. They fed Christians to lions. They covered them in wax and used them as human torches. There's all clear of the history of the Roman Empire persecuting Christians for the first 280 years. But then Rome, as all empires, starts to morally collapse from within. There was a lot of weakness in the Roman Empire when Constantine became emperor. And the more he persecuted Christians, the more the church spread. And Constantine made a decision, a political decision, to legalize Christianity and blend it with the state power, the Roman Catholic Church. It was about controlling people. The Roman Catholic Church didn't want people reading their Bibles. And so they burned people at the stake for translating the Bible from Latin, which most people couldn't read, into the common language. The Roman Catholic Church has been a geopolitical entity, and it's more about power, and it's not about the Bible or Jesus Christ. This is what he's describing as similar to what's happening with TPUS faith, this American Christian false Christianity rising. TPUS faith is taking manifest destiny, American patriotism, American cultural Christianity. You're just a Christian because you're an American. And the conservative political movement to create a new false version of Christianity along with a false gospel. But it's not about saving souls. It's about saving America. Romans 10, verse 1. Come on up, team. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, only found in Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In context, this is the Jewish people. But today, it could be the American people. We must warn people, just being a good, law-abiding, patriotic, conservative American who claims a belief in God or in Jesus is not good enough in the eyes of God. Each and every person is accountable to Him and must be born again. God is not a respecter of persons or nations. No one gets a pass with God, not even the nation of Israel. So you can either humble yourself and throw yourself down before the holy and just God of the universe to receive mercy and forgiveness by His grace through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and humanity. You must be forgiven and saved, born again. Or you can wrap yourself in an American flag and go before Him in your sin. If you know people like this, and I do, you need to warn them that American flag is not going to cover their sin. Each person needs Jesus desperately. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I hope all this connected. People can see it. Maybe they even know people who think this way. So, Lord, I ask You to help us to see what a lot have seen in the last month is something very strange that is starting to rise up from the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service and from TPUSA and from the conservative movement. And Lord, what also is brought up is a hatred for Jews, a hatred for Israel, which we will talk about next week, but Lord, there's something happening here, and we need to have our eyes open to it. And it's not pretty. It's depressing. It's sad. But it's happening. And we need to help people realize it's not going to save them. So, Lord, I ask You to help us as a church continue to be salt and light, continue to share the true gospel with everybody, and be able to talk to people and help them find the truth. I ask You to help us to do that, Lord. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Give me 3 more minutes, please. Let's stand up. I really want to end on this song because we really need Jesus. And this song just really wraps it all up. So let's sing.
Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without You, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need You. Oh, Your grace is more. Grace is found, is where You are. Where You are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Jesus, You're my hope and stay. Lord, I need You.
Amen. Go to the next slide, Levi. This week, next week, I'll be talking about the nation of Israel and the rise of the Jew haters in the conservative movement and affecting the White House. Now go to the next slide. Last slide. There we go. I'm a patriot. I love this country. If I needed to die for my country, I'd die for my country. I would defend her still today for what she's supposed to represent. But I don't love her more than I love God. I used to. But I love God and I love Jesus more. And I don't want to save my country at the risk of people hearing a false gospel. So I love our United States. I would love to see it come back to God, but not the way this organization is trying to do it, because this organization is being manipulated by Satan to deceive people. And we need to understand that. And hopefully I made that point this morning. All right, Team Jesus, let's go out. Let's go be salt and light. And again, thank you for your grace for my going over. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.